Russia launched a wave of attacks on Ukraine's capital, Kyiv, early this morning, striking residential buildings and energy infrastructure, killing at least 6 people. Meanwhile, Russia said it had intercepted and destroyed 249 Ukrainian drones. In the Rostov region, 3 people were killed in Ukrainian strikes, according to the region's acting governor. Meanwhile, as talks continue aimed at reaching a peace agreement in Ukraine, Europe's leading human rights organisation, the Council of Europe, has warned that silencing the guns and stopping the violence is not enough. It said that a just and lasting peace can only be achieved if it is anchored in an international human rights framework. That means including in the deal mechanisms for accountability and the paying of reparations to the victims, releasing prisoners and returning unlawfully detained Ukrainian children. The Council of Europe's Human Rights Commissioner is Irishman Michael O'Flaherty, and he's on the line now. Good morning and welcome to the programme.
Thank you. Good morning.
One of the elements of the original 28-point peace plan, which the US put on the table, involved a blanket amnesty for war crimes. Are you concerned that in the rush to get a deal to end this war, that human rights will be sidelined?
Yes, I am. And I've been concerned about this since early this year, when discussion about peace, when it came to the table, usually without Ukrainian involvement, was very transactional. It was about land. It wasn't about people. A peace that isn't about people and their dignity and showing them respect is a peace that ultimately is not going to be successful. Or to put it another way, a peace without justice is an empty peace that isn't going to survive.
And the things you say that must be included in a peace deal, the paying of reparations, accountability for acts of violence, releasing prisoners, giving rights to Ukrainians living under occupation, these are all things which Russia would have to agree to. And on top of that, end the violence as well. I mean, what is the incentive for Russia to do any of that?
I'm not in a good position to say that. Remember, this is a war of aggression. This isn't some kind of co-equal battle with justice and fair points on either side. This is a brutal invasion of another territory by the Russian Federation, and the world cannot stand by and let it just happen. The crimes must be, account must be had for the crimes, justice must be done to the victims, and the international community has to seek this. It's clear that to deliver peace for Ukraine involves Ukraine itself. It'll involve a cessation of violence by the Russian Federation, but it'll require the strong involvement of the European Union and of the international community more generally.
But isn't there a risk, though, if you introduce a new set of conditions into these negotiations, that it will just make a deal much more complicated and much harder to achieve and will delay the prospect of peace?
Yeah, but what kind of deal is it if it discusses and makes some kind of arrangements about land but doesn't remember the well-being of the people on the land? It's not about giving these people rights. They have human rights. We just have to make sure that they're honoured. And a peace that doesn't pay attention to these types of issues is very short-term. I mean, we saw Look at the Belfast Northern Ireland Agreement. It was the commitment to human rights in that agreement that has made it last. The same with the Dayton Peace Agreement for all its flaws in Bosnia-Herzegovina. These places would have fallen back into conflict again were it not for the fact that human beings and human welfare, human dignity and justice were put at the heart of the eventual settlements.
If the human rights conditions and considerations that you're talking about are not part of this deal, you say that an agreement would be, as you put it there, short-lived and fragile. Is a fragile deal, though, not better than a continuation of the violence that we've seen even this morning?
Look, we have to get the violence to stop, absolutely. I mean, the bombing on Kyiv this morning was absolutely egregious. We have 6 people dead so far, but that's only so far. And we know from experience that these things can the death toll mounts the next day or when the bodies are discovered. So absolutely, we've got to stop the fighting. But if we don't put human well-being at the heart of the peace, it's not a fragile peace. It's not a peace. It's a cessation of hostilities, which may or may not last. But think about the people in the occupied territories. We don't know how many. It's somewhere between 5 and 6 million people. Are we going to abandon them? Are we going to, you know, they've been subject to the most horrendous abuses. The UN has been carefully chronicling their experience over the last couple of years. The torture, the brutalization, the complete stripping of every element of human dignity from them, their language, their identity. Are we going to wish that on this vast community of people? And what about all those millions who are refugees or displaced? Do we just say, stay where you are? It's not sustainable. We've got to pay attention to people and to their dignity from the get-go in a discussion, which is why, by the way, we need to get a bigger community of actors in the room to discuss
yes.
peace.
And you talk about the need for the meaningful inclusion of women in particular in any yeah. peace process. Up to this point, the talks have largely involved men, but you say that there is strong evidence that involving women would lead to better outcomes in any peace process.
Well, it's not just me saying that. That's the long wisdom of the United Nations. For years now, there's been a push to promote the role of women in peacemaking. It's captured in a Security Council resolution at 1325. And all that experience, all that wisdom that's been gained over decades of building peace across the world seems to be largely missing from these discussions. You know, the absence from the UN at the heart of the discussion at the table means that aspects such as this appear to be neglected. And you're right, I'm not privy to what's going on in Geneva or what's gone on earlier, but I haven't seen a single image of a single woman. And we know that if women are at the table, we end up having better, more enduring peace outcomes.
All right, Michael, thank you very much for speaking with us this morning. That's Michael O'Flaherty, Human Rights Commissioner with the Council of Europe. It's 19 minutes past 8.